Just what came to me as Bill was preaching was prophetically that what is important, what is very important, is never to look. Oh, thank you so much. Did you take mine? See the nicer glass on here, as you see. That's how I got them. It's important never to look simply at the numbers. It's important never to look at the person next to you and think, well, if we're going to build revival here, if we're going to be part of that move of God that's going to sweep this nation, well, I wouldn't start with him or her. You know, because we look at each other and we think, well, if I'm who's got to work with, then he's really in trouble. But at the end of the day, the church that I belong to, that a pastor had been there for, I don't know, 40 odd years, he left. And for some reason, we don't really quite know why, we had to choose another pastor, and a minister it was, an AOG minister. And this young chap turned up, 27. Who's going to give him a job? What do you know? However, more and more and more, we felt compelled to give this young man a job. And he said, because he had wisdom beyond his years, you see, he said, well, when we start preaching about revival and teaching revival and we start moving the body towards that, he said, don't expect it to be fun and don't expect us to be the same number of people, because they'll think there are about 30 people. And eventually, after a couple of years, there was 12 of us left. Just 12. But we were in a different position, a different place. A different place, a different position. And the Spirit of God said to us, you know, as a body, you know, we had a building which was, I don't know, half this size. And even though there were 12 of us, on a good day, when mums and toddlers came and all the rest of it came, it was rammed. And you get the ridiculous situation where people would look in and say, oh, it's full, we'll go somewhere else. So we began to pray about it. We began to say, Lord, you need to do something. If we're to reach the town we live in, you need to do something. Yeah. And one of the women in our church who was very prophetic and whatever, she said, right, gang, let's close the meeting and walk with me. And we saw this piece, so she walked to a piece of derelict land. There was it's an industrial estate. No, it's not true. It's a commercial estate, you know, commercial estate. Glass and steel. And there's one piece of land left. Derelict. Bit of an eyesore, really. And she said, well, what do you reckon then? So we walked across it. And the Spirit of God convicted and said, this is the piece of land. This is the land that I will give to you. This is the land I'll give to you 12 people. So he found the bloke who owned it, who happened to be the bloke next door, owned the huge hotel next door. Long story short, it was going to cost us 600,000 quid to extend the building we were in, or it was going to cost us 500,000 to build a brand new facility. Why? Because a church down the road had paid 1.6 million for theirs. Most of it went on architects and lawyers, bless them. But we didn't do that. We did it all ourselves. And in that year that it took us to build it, we are now up to 72, because people just came in. They said, some people said, we are believers. We haven't actually got anywhere to go, but we see that God is doing something here. And people walk off the street, and one bloke said, actually, I'm a carpenter, and I know that you can't fix the emergency fire doors because there's a specialist act, but I can. He said, I'll do it for nothing. Yeah? And people rolled up and said, well, I understand what your vision is. I understand you want to reach out to the public and to people and have this place full of hundreds of people week after week after week. He said, I like that. He said, have 72,000 quid.
Wow.
Yeah?
I'll say amen to that.
Amen. Come on. Some bloke rolled up and said, actually, you won't moan me, but I own a carpet company. Tell you what I'll do, he said. I'll give you a carpet everywhere. We've got upstairs as well. Cost price. So that's how we knew that God was doing it. And so now we have a brand new facility. It's used by at least 200 people who are not believers, and we have now a time where we can set aside time and do what people really want to do. Talk to them. No matter whether it's the Malvern Civic Society, where there's lots of lawyers and architects and professional people, or whether it's a bridge club, whatever, or whether it's mums and toddlers, you'd be very, very surprised. Most people, whether they're wearing a tweed and pearls, or they've got a shell suit on, they really just want people to listen and talk to them. You see, that's what it's about. You know, we can share the gospel. We can share a life-changing word that we have. So I'd say to you, church, don't look at the numbers. Don't look at what you can't do. Reach out and believe for a vision that is bigger than you have. Because whatever vision you've got, it's not big enough. We learned that. We said, Lord, we want to do this. And he said, no, because I want to do things that are much, much bigger. We said, you sure about this? Yeah. See, God's men and women of faith and power, often we turn out to be paste and flour. You know? So just to encourage you. You know, when the leadership here and the team that, when the Spirit of God begins to move afresh and anew and say to you, I want you to do things you can't possibly imagine and you can't possibly afford, you say yes and amen. Yeah. You say yes and amen, Father God. If it's of you, we're going to go for it. Because where you guide, I will provide. It's as simple as that. You know, it's words, but it's true. It's absolutely true. There was, you know, how can 12 people have a building that cost £500,000? And is as good as the one next door, the hotel next door? How can that be? How can that be? And you see, where there's life, life breeds life. Yes? Life breeds life. The young, the middle-aged and the old say, well, something's happening here. Something's happening here. And you say, yeah, we're going for revival. So what Bill was talking about, revival, I absolutely 100% agree, because that's what we're going for. And more. And I also was very, very moved and appreciate the thing he said about reformation. That's God's word to you. Yeah. You do need reformation. I've studied the Reformation and Protestantism and all that sort of thing, the Bible and God's word. And let me tell you, today we need revelation and we need a revolution and we need restoration. Yeah. And revival is a forerunner of that. It's not a means, it's not the means in itself, but it's the thing that brings it forward. So when God asks you to do the impossible as individuals and as a church, say yes. Do yourselves a favour and say yes. And stand by and stand up to the mark, not away from it. And say, Father God, we believe that you will do what you've said you're going to do. And then you need to stand back and see God move. And change your lives and change the lives of those around you. Because you can stay like this forever. And if this is the road you want to go on, then that's where you're going to get. You need to change course. And say, Father God, what is it? What is it you want to do? What he wants to do is be for you a place, here or elsewhere, which is packed.
That's right.
It's full of people, yeah. Desperate people, who you and I wouldn't normally mix with. Yeah?
Yeah?
I've been in churches. One was a Baptist church, and you never believe anything like, you know, typical Baptist, if you see what I mean, middle-class English people, you know. And the minister said, this is no good. This is no good. It's no good. He said, right. We're going now under the arches. We're going now to under St. Paul's. We're going under, you know. And within 6 months, the place was rammed with people that you wouldn't normally talk to. You'd be terrified witness of them. They've got, you know, they've got guns and knives and tattoos and roaring motorbikes outside. You know, coming to church with a cigarette on. And a can of lager in one hand. They have no idea who God is. They have no respect for the things that we respect. But Almighty God had different plans. Because all they really wanted to know what to change them was that Jesus loved them. And he cared what happened to them. And they didn't have to continue the way they were. Mm-hmm. And so these middle class Baptists began to entertain people whom they would never have spoken to in a million years. Because they've got gated communities and 90,000 from the bank. You know, they don't need these people. But these people needed them. They need each other. It was a life-changing experience. So to finish, you know, there is a plan and purpose for this place, which God will reveal to you. He will show through you through the leadership and whatever. Yeah. And you need to step up and pray and say yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely say yes. And get that prophetic input from people you need to trust and see what God will do. Is that right, brother? Amen. 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 Thank you, Pastor.